Good morning, everybody. My name is Genevieve, for all of you that don't know me. And today I'll be sharing on Ruth. Last week we shared on Jonah. Pastor Mark took us physically through the chapters. So this week we'll be sharing on Ruth. Okay. Now I need to figure out this one. Okay. So you all got a lovely piece of paper. You have a chapter of Ruth. There are only four chapters of Ruth in the Bible, and you need to find the group that has the people that have the same chapter as you. Now, before you go out and do that, the reason we're doing this, what you're going to do is you're going to read through the chapter. We're going to give you some minutes to read in your group for the chapter, and then you're going to enact that chapter. So you can decide to sing it in opera. You can decide to do a little skit. You have about 5 minutes to read, prepare, you know, rehearse, and then we'll bring you up in your groups on stage. So everybody find the chapter, the people in your chapter. Okay, so the born leaders will shout out, and you can't all cluster in the same place, so I'm giving you 10 seconds to form your groups. 10. 9, 8, 7, are you in a group? 6, okay, can we have the 4s in the corner by Debbie? Can we have the 1s by the urn? Can we have the 2s in the corner by the red chairs? 2s by the red chairs. Can we have the 3s up here by the laptop? So if you in chapter 1, you are up by the urn, correct? Yes. If you in 3, you're down there by the red. If you are in 4, you're down by Debbie. 2s are up here by the stage. Okay. Somebody needs to go ask your parents to take you off for glasses. Okay, so you're all in your groups. 5 minutes starting now. So you're reading through your chapter, and then you're deciding as a group, how are you enacting that chapter? Oh, by the way, this is your group for the rest of the session. Thank you. I am crying with laughter. The theme through all four chapters for me was that was a definite rom-com. Definite rom-com. Good job. Okay, so as we settle down, we're just going to watch a puppet video to summarize the four chapters of Ruth.
All right, I will tell the story of a Ruth.
Oh no, not you.
Yes, me, Chester Wiggett, master of the popsicle stick puppet. And now, the story of a Ruth. Once upon a time, there was a woman named Ruth. She wasn't an Israelite. She was from Moab, a country Israel didn't like very much. But Ruth, she married an Israelite. As our story begins, Ruth, her Israelite husband, and her husband's mother were all living in the Moab because there was a famine in Israel.
A famine? You mean no food?
Right, no food. So there they are in the Moab when, oh no, Ruth's husband dies! I don't know what happened. Maybe he got hit by a bus.
I don't think they had buses back then.
Okay, maybe he got hit by a cow.
Chester.
A goat?
Chester.
An ill-tempered iguana?
Chester.
Anyway, he's dead. He's gone. No more husband. Now, Ruth's mother-in-law, her name is Naomi, she doesn't have a husband either. He died a while back. Probably another iguana.
Chester!
Or something. Naomi doesn't really belong in the Moab. She's an Israelite. So as soon as the famine ends, she decides to go back to Israel. Of course, she is old and has no husband and no money. So she'll have to beg for food. Her life will be sad. Well, guess what? Ruth doesn't want that to happen. She loves Naomi, so even though Moab is her home, Ruth says to Naomi, I will come with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Isn't it beautiful? I'm telling you, that part makes me cry every time.
Yeah, that's really something.
It gets you right in the gut. Anyway, this amazing Ruth, she leaves her home and goes to Israel with Naomi to take care of her. Every day she follows the workers in the fields to pick up little bits of grain to share with Naomi. Oh, I'm losing it, but get this, this is the best part. So she's picking up bits of grain in a field that belongs to a wealthy man named Boaz, who happens to be related to Naomi's old husband, the one that died in the iguana accident.
I don't think he was killed by an iguana.
Whatever. Anyway, Boaz sees Ruth in the field and hears about what she's done for Naomi. He hears about her great love for her mother-in-law. And get this, he falls in love with Ruth. Wonderful Ruth. And Ruth and Boaz end up getting married. And Boaz takes care of Ruth and takes care of Naomi, her mother-in-law. And everyone is happy and they burst into song.
Ever since I saw you, I knew that I loved you and will be together, always and forever.
Chester?
Always, always.
Chester, I don't think they burst into song. The Book of Ruth is not a musical.
Well, it should be.
So I want you to think about it. Out of all the readings that you did, think to yourself, what verses stood out for you the most? Okay. And for me, the verses that stood out the most were Ruth 1, 16, verse 17. Okay. It's become vows in most people's marriages, but it's quite touching. She says, but Ruth replies, don't urge me to leave you or turn my back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you from me. Another scripture that sticks out for me is Boaz replies in Ruth 2, verses 11 to 12. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. A couple more scriptures that have stood out for me. Ruth 4, verse 9 to 10. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses, like Sean and Kenan, that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Kilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are my witnesses. And the last scripture, Ruth 4, 16 to 17. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. And then he was the father of Jesse and the father of David. When we refer to David, we're referring to King David. Okay, so I would like to ask you guys, if somebody could just throw some things back at me. What themes for you stood out through the Book of Ruth? You can don't all have to jump at the same time. Kenan? Love. Oh, anything else? Rebecca? On your feet. Yes. Faithfulness? Yeah. Sorry, Kanye, you? Louder? Kanye, you still? Drama. Okay. Yes? Obedience. Sorry, I need to clean my ears. Yes, another question, another answer? Okay. All right. Anything else? Yeah? Yes? Sacrifice? Is that what you said? Yeah? You need to speak a little bit louder, the tin roof. Yes, sweetheart? Respect. Okay. All good themes and all captured in the book. But for me, two themes really stood out. One is faithfulness, like my daughter clinging to my leg. She's Ruth, I'm Naomi. For me, it's love and faithfulness. And the reason I say love and faithfulness, but more so for me, faithfulness, right? So in the book of Ruth, somewhere between chapter 1 and chapter 2, Naomi decides to go back to Israel. She's going with both her daughters-in-law. She knows she's a widow. She knows that other people should be taking care of her because she can't work because she's a widow, or she needs to beg. And then, somewhere along the pathway, she decides, you know what, nah? Why am I dragging two children along with me, these two ladies, who are young, who can still have kids, who can still make homes of their own? Why am I torturing them too? And she says, stop, hold up, you know, go back to your country. Find yourself a good man. Start your family again. And Opa loved Ruth. If you read the chapter, they didn't want to leave Naomi. They didn't want to leave Naomi. You know, they both loved Naomi. But eventually Opa said, rather not. Let me turn back. But Ruth said, where you go, I will go. Have you had a friend or somebody that will stick with you like glue? And that's why, for me, faithfulness sticks out as a theme. The definition of faithfulness is adhering firmly and devotedly to a person, cause, or idea. It's fundamentally loyalty. The more I speak, the louder it becomes. Okay, so in those groups that we had earlier, Ruth 1, 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to give you like 2 minutes to think about how we can show faithfulness to God and to others. And do you have a real life testimony of when you were faithful that you can share with all of us? Okay? So we're giving you 2 minutes to just get back into your groups, think about ways in which you can show faithfulness to God and to others. And we want one testimony from each group. Real life testimony of faithfulness. Okay? This is going to be shared back with everybody. Okay? Okay, guys, you can come back through and we're going to do our group share now. So, okay. All right. So let's listen up, guys.
Thank you. Hello. Testimony of faithfulness. Well, there's this girl in our group named Naomi. Just kidding, she's Joe. Ha, ha, ha. She's been, like, really hoping to go do some amazing things, and she's been super faithful, and now she's gotten the opportunity to go build a hospital, help building a hospital, which is super cool. So that's Joe. And Keenan and Sean are also doing the hospital building things. So that's Joe's testimony. And my testimony is that I was really hoping for some great things to happen, and then they did. And now I'm starting my YouTube channel. That's all. We can show faithfulness by being persistent and trusting in God even when we think that everything is going downhill like Shalom on a bicycle. That is all.
Thank you. Ruth chapter 2, please. Can we have a spokesperson from Ruth 2?
So for our testimony, like I asked guys like how like the faith has been tested, you know, so we can know how to like be show faithfulness and stuff. Like Futu was like, I don't know. Ayanda was like, well, I've been tested, but I don't really like, I don't have an idea. So I think, you know, none of us actually like, when we do it, we just like do it. It's not like we're thinking like writing a formula, you know, calculating exactly the amount of faith we have to put for the situation. So I guess, you know, how to show faithfulness is just basically, you know, knowing who you are and just doing what you have to do for God and loving people as well. If you love someone very much, then you'll be faithful to them. It comes easily. It's not like you have to think about it, you know, like you just do it. And a testimony of faithfulness, just give me a second, it's coming. Okay. So this is not like the most profound example of faithfulness you'll ever find about it, but it's mine. So when I was clean about maybe yay high, I'm not sure. I wanted a PlayStation 2, but like I'd been praying for a PlayStation 2 for like maybe a year or so and hadn't gotten one. So now I was feeling sad. I mean, you're supposed to get anything from God if you ask. It's been a year, haven't gotten anything. But then, I don't know why, I suddenly felt encouraged to pray for another year. So I prayed for 2 years, and then I finally got it. Yes, so I was like, I'm happy. Although PlayStation 2s are bad for young children, it's still an enjoyable experience.
Thank you. Can we have Ruth chapter 3, please? That was the cutest sneeze ever.
Okay. 30 seconds, yikes. Okay, how can we show faithfulness to God and other people? We can stick to what we believe in. We know what we believe in. We're faithful to our beliefs, to our moral values, etc. And a testimony of faithfulness. Okay, this is my testimony. When we were moving to Joburg, at first I didn't want to come. And then God gave me the verse from Ruth, where you will go, I will go. And he told me, just follow your parents. They know what they're doing. Don't worry. And here I am.
Talk about taking the abstract from the Bible. Whoop, whoop. Can we have chapter 1, please? Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. How can you show faithfulness? You just keep on trusting, I think. It's the biggest aspect. As like Joseph, a few weeks ago, we heard about him trusting the whole time God, you know, being in prison and everything and all the things that happened to him. And then my testimony is, like, next year I'm going, like, overseas all on my own to Australia and study there and live there. And, I just think, you know, just trust him, because in the long term that will be probably the better option. And, just basically trust all over.
Cool. Thank you guys all for your sharing. I believe we all learned something from the testimonies of others. So, that's me, if you don't know. I'm going to share a testimony that's over 40 years old. It's not a testimony of my own, but it is a testimony of my favorite uncle. So when my mom was 11 years old, her father passed away. Before her father passed away, 2 out of 8 of his kids were not saved. And he got a prophetic word that said, one of your sons will get saved on their deathbed, well, on their sickbed. Fast forward 40 years later, my uncle Dirk, favorite uncle, wasn't getting saved. Now, some context, in my family, my parents are elders in the church out of the 8. My aunt's uncle, her husband's also in the church. I've got 3 pastors that have their own churches. So it's kind of like a thing to be saved in my family. But my one uncle, Malcolm, about 5 years ago, he dedicated his life to the Lord. But the sweetest, the kindest soul out of all of them was still not saved. He was a tailor and interior designer, and he would do the best work ever. But then all of a sudden, the worm would stand, as we would say as an expression, and he would go on a spree. A spree is 3 weeks, maybe 3 months of drinking, partying, alcohol, and then he'll come back and carry on life as normal, and then he'll go on a spree. And I remember the first time we got those cards in his people, not the new ones, the first ones, the red and white ones. And we had to put 5 people's names down on who we want to see get saved. And I put, you know, now you got that lost part, and you're like, I don't know anyone else. Then I'm like, okay, I'm going to put my uncle. And then I was like, hey, Lord, I'm putting my uncle, but I don't think he's going to get saved, to be honest. I really don't think so. Like, he's a lovely person, but this one, he messes with drugs, he messes with alcohol. I just don't see it happening. So this is when the story gets a bit rocky. So the 30th of April. You did the big job, like, this is colored term. So you did a piece of work, you got paid, and then you went partying. Two guys that are about my age from the community, he asked them to walk him home over the train line because he lived near the train line so that he wouldn't get mugged. But the guys he was walking with knew that he had about 10K on him. They took a rock, they hit him at the back of his head and left him for dead on the train line. The train knocked him over. He died. The paramedics were there. They resuscitated him. He lived 43 days, dedicated his life back to God, and he died 43 days later. If that's not a testimony of faithfulness of my granny praying for him to get saved, of my family praying for him to get saved, then I don't know what faithfulness is. I'm usually better than keeping myself together. Sorry about that. So real life faithfulness. So I'm just going to give you a few examples as we wrap up on how we in our day-to-day lives can keep faithfulness. But as I say this, I've been preparing for this for quite some time, working with Pastor Mark on the slides back and forth. And I've realized in most of these areas, we have failed. One or another time, you have broken faithfulness. But God is faithful to you. So just it's important to try, you know, not just to not do it. And keeping faithfulness is the first one, is keeping confidence. So, you know, like, especially the girls, I know you all know this, right? You know when you know your friends just told you a juicy story that will just go make everybody go, ooh, ah, and you know you want to tell the next person. You know you'd be the ish if you told the story. But it's like faithfulness is keeping your friends' confidence instead of telling the story. Staying pure. So I hung out with a lot of boys when I grew up. I was a tomboy of note. And so I'm going to pick on the boys when I come to this topic. Faithfulness is not only when you're getting hot, things are getting hot and heavy in the room. Faithfulness starts when you think about that girl, when you allow your mind to drift more than 5 seconds. Faithfulness is making your mind pure because the act is only an outward expression of an inward thought. Faithfulness is obeying your parents. So you know when you've got VIP tickets to that hot party and you know the code to the alarm and your mother sleeps at 10 and the party only really starts at 11. Faithfulness is staying at home because your mother just said no. Obeying God, like we spoke about Jonah last week, where God told him to go to Nineveh, but he decided to go to Tarshish. Faithfulness is going to Nineveh, even if God just said go, even if you don't know why. That's faithfulness. Having integrity, you know, like when you get change from the spaza on the corner, and they gave you change for 100, but you only paid with the 50. Faithfulness is turning back and giving that money back. Faithfulness is when you get your first job, and believe me, when you get your first job, there will always be something you want. New iPhone, that pair of shoes, that new Nike-ish, you know, high top, low top, I don't even know what you'll call them anymore. But when you see the money you have in your hand, and it's just enough, but you know you must still take 10%, faithfulness is taking that 10% and saying, ish, I'll save it for later. Okay, so because Ruth was faithful to Naomi, we see the lineage. So Obed over there was born, and then, born is not a correct English word, right? And then out of that lineage came Jesse, David, and through David's lineage came Jesus. So faithfulness is not only for your generation. Faithfulness is for generations after you. Like I spoke about my uncle, it was when my mother was 11. My mother is now 52. Over 40 years later, faithfulness speaks to the generations. God is a generous and gracious God, right? He's a forgiving God. We all make mess-ups. We might not have stayed pure. We might not be paying tithes. But if you say, hold the phone, God, can you forgive me? He'll forgive you. But God is also a God of principle. And if you stay faithful, God will bless you. Okay. Thank you. So before we just end the slides, I would like to ask anybody that needs prayer for faithfulness in any aspects of your life, if you need prayer, if you don't mind standing, and then we'll pray with you, and then we'll close this off. I'll give you like 5 seconds to think about it. Cool. Auntie Debbie, you want to come pray, please?
Thank you, Lord, that you've been faithful to us. Thank you that you sent your Son that we may have life and have it abundant, Lord. And we pray that we ask that you will help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to be obedient because we cannot do it on our own. Help us to listen to our families. Help us to turn to you first. Help us to do the things that you've asked us to do, Lord. And I pray for each one that is standing and even those who are sitting and who are a little bit afraid to stand. I pray, God, that you will, that small voice in our hearts, Lord, I ask that you will speak to us when we are about to make a mistake, Lord, that we will know that it's you that's speaking to us and help us to do the right thing. Thank you, God, because you're a good God and you love us unconditionally. We pray this in your precious name, Lord. Amen.